The sermon for today is based on the gospel reading from Luke, which we just heard. From the wilderness of Judea, John the Baptist came by the Holy Spirit to preach the word of God. He was wrapped in camel hair with a leather belt around his waist. His diet was locust and honey. A man accustomed to the rigors of outdoor living, he was not seduced by the pleasures of this life. He was unaffiliated with any special interest group, and he was not interested in flattering the people with lofty platitudes and empty words. John, Luke says, came in the power and spirit of Elijah, and in his preaching, he was specific. John didn't tell the people that God has a plan for their lives. John did not tell the people if only they have enough faith, they will be healed and God will shower them with earthly blessings. God did not call upon the people to peer into the hidden will of God in attempts to discover what it is he wants them to do. John did not tell the people, believe in the God of your choice, because it makes no difference. John came with a specific message to proclaim, not the opinions and fairy tales of man. John proclaimed a baptism of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. He did what every faithful pastor and teacher does, and that is, he pointed the people to Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He must increase, I must decrease, John would say. He who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. John points to Christ. John pointed the people to Christ. He didn't tell silly stories or work to get a chuckle out of the crowd, but he called the people to repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. Not only would Christ be slain for the sins of the world, but Christ comes to judge the nations in righteousness and equity. The wheat will be stored in his barn. The chaff will be cast into unquenchable fire. Friends, the preaching of John the Baptist should cause us to pause because we hear from him that already God judges the hearts of men. Already God knows the sheep from the goats. He knows his subjects and he knows those who belong to Satan. That leads us to a question, and that is, what are you? Are you wheat or are you chaff? Will you spend your days in God's barn or unquenchable fire? It's not a question to put off. Already the winnowing fork is in his hand, and God will sift through his people and gather to himself his sheep, while the goats will be cast into outer darkness. In the Gospel of Matthew, we hear some of the people who are on the scene specifically, and that is the Pharisees. And when John sees the Pharisees, he fires at them with both barrels. You brood of vipers. Who warned you from the wrath to come? Now, the Pharisees, we know, they had a knack for practicing their own righteousness and elevating their own traditions over and above the word of God. On the outside, they looked tidy and clean, maybe to some even perfect. But on the inside, their unrighteousness and sin made them as filthy as a dirty rag. Their hypocrisy, evident. Pride, undeniable. And the teaching that they espoused was as dangerous as a viper's bite. Jesus would say this about the Pharisees. He would call them blind guides who shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders while they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. Thus says the Lord. You see, the Pharisees, friends, were not interested in hearing the preaching of John, to repent and receive the forgiveness of sins in Christ, they were not interested in the Lamb of God. They were stumbling blocks to the faith, hindrances to the kingdom, men filled with lawlessness and hypocrisy. God is not fooled by facades. God does not judge the outer appearance of a man, and he knows even the deepest secrets of men. The Pharisees should have been shaking in their sandals when they heard John say, "Even now the axe is being laid to the root of the tree." We don't hear their response in this particular passage of Scripture, which seems to be a testament to their unbelief. But those who are roused by the preaching of John are tax collectors, soldiers, sinners. Sinners the Pharisees would have nothing to do with. But they were stirred by the word of God after hearing it come out of the lips of God's prophet. And they go to him and they ask the question that every believer asks, "What shall we do?" Give to your neighbor. Be honest in your work. Content with your wages. In other words, friends, love your neighbor as yourself. Go on and be a tax collector. Be a soldier. Be a doctor. Be a lawyer, a mechanic, a teacher, a pastor. Just whatever you do, love your neighbor as yourself. Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. Every follower of Jesus should be concerned about doing the right thing, bearing fruits of the Spirit, not rotten fruits of the flesh. You want to be a healthy tree before God, right? Not the tree that is cut down and thrown into the fire. Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. Don't hide behind hypocrisy. Never think false teaching does no harm to the soul, because it does. Do not present a defense for your sin, trying to convince God and others that your sin really isn't all that bad. Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. John the Baptist knew one claim of the Pharisees before it came out of their mouths. To them, their father was Abraham. And so the blood running through their veins automatically made them part of the kingdom of God. But living in Christ, friends, mean you have one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is your Lord and your God by His grace, who gives you faith to be called children of Abraham. From stones, God can make the child of Abraham. From the heart of stone, void of life, dead in sin, God can give faith through His mighty word to bring that sinner from death to life in Christ through the proclaimed gospel. Neither bloodlines, nor works, nor genealogies, nor the flesh or sinful cooperation of man is needed for God to make somebody a child of Abraham. It's God's work. It is by His grace that He puts life into the heart of the sinner, giving them faith to believe in and cling to Christ Jesus, our Lord. Bloodlines, genealogies, and our works do not automatically grant one access into the kingdom of God. That's His work. We just witnessed God's work. Now, sure, I held Elise. I uttered the word of God. You, the congregation, even spoke vows on her behalf. I didn't ask Elise whether or not she wanted to be baptized. We could not see inside her little heart or her mind. If she was washed in the waters at this font, she will have no remembrance of this day. She was a victim of a baptism, a passive recipient of water and the word. But friends, this is what we do know, and that is God by Himself is able to raise children of Abraham from even stones. From a dead, lifeless stone, God creates faith and brings the sinner to life in Christ. You see, the infant and the adult have something in common. And that is, they both need what only God can give. And that is faith. Faith in His Word. Faith in His promises. What we do know is that here Christ has promised to be found. With this water is the Word of God, by which we hear our Lord tell us, all who are baptized have put on Christ. This Word tells us that all who have been baptized are united to Christ, buried with Him unto His death, thus killing the old Adam, and therefore will also share in a resurrection like His. From this Word comes faith. This Word at the font, the Word proclaimed by John the Baptist, friends, the Word that we hear this very day. Luke quotes from the prophet Isaiah, and he says, "Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all the flesh shall see the salvation of God." That comes from Isaiah. Luke quotes it. Got any valleys in your life? Any mountains standing in your way? Are the rough patches more frequent than the smooth ones? Brothers and sisters, there's a way through all of it. The way you are looking for. The pathway of God that leads directly to His heavenly courts is the way proclaimed by John the Baptist. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The way of eternal life is the Lamb, and His name is Jesus. In Jesus, we behold our salvation. Living in Christ by faith, that means you are on the pathway leading directly to God. In fact, Scriptures say you are so close to God that Scripture says you are reconciled to God. That means there's no separation between your heavenly Father and you because your sins have been wiped clean by the blood of Jesus. Believers make up the body of Christ. You are so close to your Lord and your God that He calls you His body. When it seems like your sins are piling up like a mountain, when your suffering puts you lower than the deepest valley, remember, friends, that you live in the way of forgiveness because by God's grace, He calls you His child through Christ, who justifies the ungodly, who is able from stones to raise children of Abraham, who through the waters of baptism can give even faith. Repent and believe in the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now is the time to heed John's message. Friends, look to Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life that we need right now to live as God's people as we anxiously await His glorious return. In Christ, rest assured, you are wheat stored securely in His barn. The good tree bearing good fruit is that child of God who by His grace has been given that gift of faith to believe in and confess His holy saving name. In Christ, we see our salvation, both now and when He comes again. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds guarded in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.